Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Web Midnight Black Mass, a production brought to you by YourChoiceWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you discussions and interviews with speakers from both entertainment and general pop culture. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Midnight Black Mass.
Clock is ticking down to March 31st, 2012. Hardcore Hell, NWA Anarchy's premier event of the year, and the 12th one that I've been a part of. It's the most important weekend in all of professional wrestling. See, WWE's holding WrestleMania, and while they don't need my endorsement, the point is that all the eyes in the world are on our sport. And that makes it that much more important when we step into the main event, title for title, with my man, the Angel of Death Azrael, the NWA Anarchy Heavyweight Champion, taking on you, the Temptation, NWA North American Heavyweight Champion, Shawn Tempers. And as a bout of such importance draws near to me, I found it necessary to come to my place of solitude. Both Azrael and Shawn, you know it very well. It's right here on the compound in the hills of Tennessee. And I come here to gather my thoughts. You've been here as well, Shawn. I remember when you were just a fat, lazy little rich kid who came to me with a world of potential and said, Reverend, make me somebody. And I brought you out here to the compound, and just about a quarter mile down, we sparred out in the field with the likes of Tank and Iceberg to make you a man. I made you run all around this property, shedding that baby fat to become the man that you are today, Shawn. You remember that. You remember going out to the house, to the main quarters, and watching hours and hours of videotape. All to prepare you to become what you are. And yes, you left the nest. You no longer are a member of the Devil's Rejects. You've been out and made your own name as the Temptation. And you're the NWA North American Champion. Yet, you still manage to forget where you came from. So I felt it appropriate to bring you back. Azrael hasn't forgotten. There's a man that you need to be worrying about very strongly, Shawn. Because he's been here training. He's ready. He's put in the most extensive conditioning of his life for this, the most important opportunity of his career, because he's already proved all the naysayers wrong. 15 years of blood, sweat, and tears. I've seen that man with broken bones sticking out of his skin, barely able to understand the words that were coming out of my mouth, fully concussed so many times that his brain was a pile of mush, but he kept fighting because he doesn't know the meaning of the word quit. And people, they detracted him, they naysayed him, they told everybody that Azrael didn't have what it takes to be a main eventer, but he proved the world wrong at season's beatings when he stood toe-to-toe with NWA World Heavyweight Champion. And had circumstances been just a little bit different, Shawn, and you know what I'm talking about, then he might have walked out of that match as NWA World Champion. But now, he still gets his shot at you in the main event of Hardcore Hell, his former brother, his former tag team partner. And now, he puts it all on the line to get what you've got, Shawn. Everything he's worked for is represented in the NWA Anarchy Heavyweight Championship that Azrael wears around his shoulders. Everything he's worked to achieve, he has given up to try to get a shot at what you have, the North American Heavyweight Championship. And Azrael's no quitter, as you know, Shawn. So what you might as well do is look at the big picture. Don't be mistaken by the fact that the fans cheer for Azrael and myself now. Because we ain't changed. My hair might be a little thinner. My ass might be a little bigger. But I'm still the devil. And don't you ever forget it. And I will have Azrael do the devil's work on you, Sean. So go ahead and detach yourself from any emotional investment you have to what we built in the Devil's Rejects. Because on March 31st, the bridge to your past will be burnt to the ground, and in the ashes of the wake, a void in your soul will be left where the North American title once stood, as it's around Azrael's waist once and for all. then the sheep will be scattered. A favorite quote of mine. Good evening, Groovy Ghoulies. And the Daywalkers, too, because it's a little bit of an earlier broadcast than usual for this special NWA Anarchy Hardcore Hell pregame edition of the Midnight Black Mass. The Rev is going to be sharing with you tonight my history involved with the event, the historic wrestling event for independent wrestling, in my opinion, the longest running major card, or one of them in the country. And this will be the 12th appearance I've had at Hardcore Hell, which will be emanating tomorrow night, 8 o'clock p.m. at the NWA Arena in Cornelia, Georgia. More on that in a moment. You just heard the battle song of the Devil's Rejects. That was Vigil by Lamb of God off of 2003's classic album, Ashes of the Wake. And you should own that if you're a fan of the Reverend and the Devil's Rejects. But if you don't, do yourself a favor and go on over to iTunes or Amazon.com and pick up your copy of that seminal new wave of American metal album by Lamb of God. The Rejects have been synonymous with that song for many years, thanks to fans and our travels all across the United States. We got a great show for you tonight. I will be indulging you with a little bit of Hardcore Hell history. We've got the Muji Movie Minute, featuring a 1970 classic from the British Hammer Films again this week. This was called The Vampire Lovers. Very much looking forward to that. We have another edition of TV Casualty, where our friend the Batman, it's called In Between Mob Warfare. We have that and so much more. Going to go ahead and get things started right now with the music news. Actually, before we move on to that, what am I thinking? I got to plug the wrestling dates. The Rev has upcoming appearances, and you need to be there if you're in the area. Of course, tomorrow night is Hardcore Hell, NWA Anarchy. The Rev will be managing the Angel of Death, Azrael, the NWA Anarchy Heavyweight Champion, to take on NWA North American Champion, the Temptation, Shawn Tempers, and a title-for-title match. About you heard my interview, my exclusive interview for NWAAnarchy.net and the NWA Anarchy Facebook page at the top of the hour. That sent notice out to Shawn Tempers and let him know exactly what was going to happen tomorrow night. Huge card. Also in the co-main event, you have eight-man tag team action with Jeff G. Bailey in the ring for the first time in a long time, teaming with his NWA Elite of Seven, Brian Casanova, and Lane Vassar against the team of Michael Judas, Brody Ray Chase, Johnny Dangerous, and the real Slim J. NWA Anarchy Television Championship will be on the line as the King, Seth DeLay, defends his title against Shawn Tempers, Man Boy, Bro Newsome. The Young Lions Championship will be on the line as John Schuyler takes on Anthony Henry, the Young Lions Champion. And in a loser leaves town match, the Urban Assault Squad to take on the Ambassadors. And my man, the Hate Junkies, going to go toe-to-toe with Rudy Boy Gonzalez's trainees, Especial, the Texas Tornadoes. Going to be one hell of a card. Cornelia, Georgia, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock p.m. bell time. You don't want to miss it. Go to NWAAnarchy.net to purchase your tickets now. Next Saturday night, April the 7th, I'll be returning to Blue Ridge, Georgia for NWA Deep Southern Championship Wrestling on a card headlined by the Temptation, Shawn Tempers, taking on WWE star, formerly Al Snow. And then NWA Chattanooga returns to Sunny Days in Middle School on April the 20th. That's a Friday night, 8 o'clock p.m. I'll be there with the Deadlift Sin 7, taking on NWA Southern Champion Drew Haskins, and also there with NWA Southeastern Heavyweight Champion, the Southeastern Strangler, Andrew Alexander, the newest member of my fold in NWA Chattanooga. So that's where you'll see the Reverend on the road. On to the music news. Cinderella have announced they're going to be hitting the road again this summer. They've been out the last 2 years delivering some killer performances. They still look and sound great. I saw them not last year, actually, but the year before. And it was quite a memorable show. I think that they were at the top of their game, sounding as good as ever, really. And honestly, if you're talking about summer tours, this is the year, folks. Get your ass out there in those arenas. If you got free money to burn, you can see about every band you ever wanted to see. Aerosmith and Cheap Trick have announced the Combo Package Tour. Def Leppard and Poison have announced the Combo Package Tour. I have already announced that I'll be attending Motley Crue and Kiss in July as well as Iron Maiden and Alice Cooper. Just so much in the way of great music out there on the road this summer. You definitely need to get out there and check it out. A summer concert experience is like no other. Speaking of summer concerts, 2 years ago, I also got the opportunity to see Scorpions on their retirement tour. And a band that also kicked some major ass opening up for them was Wrath. Just heard that Robbie Crane, formerly of the Lynch Mob, their current bass player, has left the band on good terms. Stages had a good time in the running with Rat over the last few years. Of course, their original bassist, Robert Crosby, died many years ago, so they've had a run of fill-ins since then. But Robbie Crane's been with the band for quite a while. Now Rat looks for a new bassist. Probably won't be a difficult spot to fill. That Metal Show returns to VH1 Classic with a brand new season this Saturday night at 11 o'clock p.m. Check your local listings for your cable provider's location on VH1 Classic. First episode is going to have Machine Head's Rob Flynn and Metallica's Lars Ulrich returning to the show for his second appearance. An awesome show. Just an awesome show if you're a fan of heavy metal. I don't always agree with the host, but that's almost part of the fun of it. They do a lot of these top five lists, various favorite albums, vocalists, etc. They have lots of great interviews and lots of great guests. Lots of great metal trivia is brought up in the Stump the Trunk segment. You really need to owe yourself a favor and go check out that metal show if you're a metal fan and you haven't. And then rounding out the music news, East Coast thrash metal legends Overkill have released a brand new single for their upcoming album, The Electric Age. That's a band that's been out here on the road kicking ass consistently for years. They've never slowed down. They've never given it up. And they're still out there kicking ass with this new album coming out. And, oh, do we have a treat for you. You see, I just now mentioned that we was going to have a new single from Overkill. It just came out, so now why not give it to you? We're playing it right here off the upcoming album from Overkill, their brand-new single off the album Electric Age. This is Wish You Were Dead. And we're back with another edition of the Midnight Black Mass, the special NWA Anarchy Hardcore Hell 2012 pregame edition. And it is now time to delve into the realm of horror cinema with the Muji Movie Minute. My best pal since birth, the great Muji himself. Muji on the line with us today for the Muji Movie Minute. How you doing, my brother?
Doing pretty good.
And what do we have on the tap for tonight, my friend? I told them a little earlier, but remind them.
Today we're going with the 1970s, The Vampire Lovers. It's a movie from Hammer. Of course, another great run of movies in the late 60s and through the 70s. It's a vampire movie that's kind of a twist for Hammer. You know, most of theirs revolves around the male Dracula. This one's actually mostly revolves around a female vampire played by Ingrid Pitt, who was in a couple of Hammer movies, a bunch of other British horror movies in the 70s, The Wicker Man being one. Of course, you get a little Peter Cushing because it's him or Christopher Lee one isn't in it. It's not a Hammer movie. The basic plot of the movie, it's pretty standard for your Hammer horror. She's a vampire. A bunch of people start getting bit by vampires, and everybody's shocked to learn that the old tale of vampires is actually true. There's actually vampires out in the world. Not a ton to tell in the plot. Like I said, pretty standard. Liked it. Thought it was cool. Like I said, it was a twist for Hammer, having the female lead. Surprising, a lot of nudity in it. All high class, all literally good-looking chicks in this movie.
Yes,
actually,
there was some top-shelf 1970 breasts for that film, and many of them.
Yeah, at least three chicks in there who looked like they had fake boobs, even though they didn't. So they were quite great. It's actually really weird. The girl, Ingrid Pitt, is the main character, kind of seduced all of the women, which was a little controversial at the time, that they had her kind of with the woman-on-woman contact in there. It gets pretty explicit when I was watching it. You know, there was some stuff in it. I was like, you know, it was pretty close. Like, today, you know, that would be real close to getting somebody 17 or 18 for some of the action in the movie. But I thought it was good. I thought it was, you know, well done. It was, like I said, it felt like a Hammer movie. They set up a lot of the scariness just by being creepy, by being dark and everything. Liked it, thought it was, you know, pretty good, gave it 70% well done. It was a good watch.
70%, there you have it from the Mooge for the Vampire Lovers. You want to check that out, it's actually available on Netflix right now. They have had a slew of great Hammer horror on there, but thus, these days, I guess it was a Halloween-only thing, because that really seemed to be about the only gem out there from Hammer. And of course, we watched The Resident last week, which was a newer Hammer release, and we weren't feeling it so much, so I think it was wise to go back and just show us why we're really fans of the classic British Hammer horror. Would you agree, Muji?
Yeah, so the phone is trying to dial him. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Okay.
It definitely was a great representation of old Hammer, for sure. And I was thinking there actually is a little bit still on there. I was thinking that we could go with the same chick. I liked that Ingrid Pitt from this movie. Thought she was hot. Thought she was cool. So Netflix actually has Countess Dracula, her other horror movie her other Hammer movie. From the 70s.
Oh, that's a favorite. I love that one. Yeah, that's a really good movie, and I'd be game to revisit that any day. And that's the one. It's funny because it's called Countess Dracula, but there's really not much to the vampire lore in it. It's more that she's like an evil baroness who is old, but it's like killing these young virgins to steal their youth from them somehow. And it's a really great flick, so yeah, let's definitely go with that. We'll go ahead and promise that to you. Next week here on the Muji Movie Minute, we will come back with Countess Dracula, bring back another Ingrid Pitt classic.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that. Yeah, it looks cool just kind of reading on the plot. Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's no Dracula so much, but this one is loosely based on... come up with her name if I wasn't thinking of it. The what's her name? Bathory, the lady who, the true, it's based off the true story of the chick who bathed in the virgin blood back in like the 1600s. She was a countess.
The evil countess, Elizabeth Bathory.
Yes, the nobility, which is, she's thought to be the most popular of all time. So it's a good thing to base it off of.
Well, there you go. Well, you got anything else for me this week, Muji? Any other commentary? See anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, that's it for horror, man. The horror, I've been looking at upcoming stuff, and, there's not really anything in theaters right now, but in about a month, there's going to be a slew of horror movies that kind of came out through the summer to the end of last year out on DVD that we haven't reviewed yet, so in a couple of weeks, we should start having some, newer movies to check out again.
Well, that sounds fucking awesome, man. And any hardcore hell memories for you, Muji? Being that I know you've attended a few of the events yourself.
Probably the best, even though, some of my people in the match, probably wrestling that I've ever seen, outside of going to a WWE or WCW event, a lot better than a lot of those I've seen. Probably outside of seeing The Rock and Austin and Goldberg live during the Monday Night Wars, and outside of attending a couple of WrestleManias, the most exciting thing I've probably seen, the most thing where the crowd was just going crazy and where there was electricity in the air. I don't know the year, but it was the Hardcore Hell where you and the Rejects took on the Team Anarchy that was I think Ace Rockwell, Slim J, Shadow Jackson. I think it was the first of the big War Games matches once Anarchy came.
Well, now War Games is actually Hostile Environment.
It was Hostile Environment? Okay.
Yeah, now we did some stuff at Hardcore Hell that same year, just differently. But yeah, and you've been at so many of the things over the years. I wanted to talk about the first time I ever did a Hardcore Hell was 2001 as an announcer, and the main event was Bad Attitude and Total Destruction in that fucking sick-ass
cage
match.
Yeah, I was live for that. That was a crazy time. Certainly was there with a couple of other guys that are big on your roster now that I won't name. We were in the crowd watching that, and that was really crazy for me at the time, outside of going and seeing ECW live. That was the craziest thing that I'd seen, with with the violence and people fighting all over the building and stuff. Yeah, that was certainly during the Wild Side heyday, where they really, had everything in wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. Good times, man. Well, all right, my brother. I will let you get back to your Friday night partying and hanging and banging, and I will get back to the congregation here at the Midnight Black Mass. But thank you for joining us, as always, and I will see you next week, Muji. That was the Muji Movie Minute. All right, fans. More Hardcore Hell memories coming up for you. Hoping to get a few of the roster members to call in here. I've spoken to some of my clients and some of the other NWA Anarchy stars, and love to get their thoughts. Of course, with it being a Friday night, a lot of them are making money out there on the road doing wrestling cards themselves, so trying to get calls in between matches. But we do anticipate to have at least one or two folks call in and give you their thoughts on Hardcore Hell as well. I'm going to get back to some tunage for you. I'm going to take you back to 1979. As we like to hang around in the 70s a whole lot here, and that's pretty fucked up because the Reverend was born in 1980. But I've been told I'm an old soul, perhaps hundreds of years old. But I find a great affinity for the decade that was the 1970s. And both the beginning and the end, this part here no different, back to 1975 with the band we play a whole lot of, the legendary Motorhead. This song's off Overkill. It's called I Won't Pay Your Motherfucking Price.
So drunk. Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Red Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
What they've done to try and put me in this match. I know that you know as well as anyone that Brody Chase has a vendetta against me. He's been plotting this for weeks, if not months, to try and get his hands on me. But the thing he seems to fail to realize is it's not just going to be me out there. It's going to be the Deadly Sin 7. It's going to be Lane Vassar. It's going to be Brian Casanova, the NWA elite at full strength. And there's no way that Brody Chase, Slim J, Johnny Dangerous, and even the great Michael Judas stand a chance.
Well, that's a match that a lot of fans are looking forward to, my man. And, of course, there's the big wild card out there, a guy you and I both went round and round with. Former NWA Anarchy owner Jerry Palmer has been announced as the special enforcer. What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. What is that, a special enforcer? That's just another word to stack the odds against the NWA elite. It's basically 5-4 out there, which is what Brody Chase has plotted all along. He's got the numbers on us every time. When there's two of us out there, there's three of them. If there's three of us out there, there's four of them. It's a conspiracy. I know it. You know it. I know we don't see eye to eye on everything, but even you have to look at this with a crooked eye and wonder why in God's name is Jerry Palmer going to be at that show?
Yeah, I got to say, I don't think I'd want to be in that situation. You know, we're not wrestlers. We do a great job at what we do, which is advise and train and manage and help guys' career and move them along. But to put you in the ring, I just don't think that's right myself. I got to say it.
Well, it's certainly not right, but it's really a sad situation because here we finally got rid of Jerry Palmer. You get a man like Franklin Dove in there, a man with money, a little bit of class, you would think, and it turns out that he's just another peon like all those people. He'd rather blend in with them. He'd rather hide amongst the riffraff and pretend to be one of the unwashed dirtbags that litter the NWA arena so he can bond with them and they can chant his name and he can feel like he's all part of everything. Well, what he needs to understand is the NWA elite runs the NWA arena, always have, always will. And Franklin Dove, you've made the biggest mistake of your life by putting me in this match, by allowing Brody Chase to put me in this match. And there's going to be repercussions felt by him and everyone else in that building when this match takes place.
Well, it's coming up in short time. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at the NWA Arena in Cornelia, Georgia. Go to NWAAnarchy.net for more details. But, I was talking earlier about Hardcore Hell history and how it is one of the longest-running supercards in all of independent professional wrestling and how this will be my 12th Hardcore Hell event. And you're about the only person there who's done more than me. Do you care to reflect on any fond Hardcore Hell memories of the past?
Well, one of my fondest memories, was ruined. We had, back in the day, we used to do the two-night spectacular, the Friday and Saturday Hardcore Hell. And again, it was a time when people were plotting against the NWA elite. There was a team called the God Squad, and they thought they were going to outsmart the NWA elite, that they were going to bring in Christopher Daniels to make their odds greater than us. But with a little bit of money and a whole lot of smarts, I was able to turn it around on them. And we left them laying on a Friday night, daring them to show up on Saturday. And I'll be damned if on Saturday they didn't show up with AJ Styles and Dusty Rhodes. And, yes, they did get the win. So the memory's not as fond as I would like it to be. The first half was great. The NWA elite stood tall. The second half, we were robbed. Dusty Rhodes at ringside. A special referee slid in, counted a fall. They beat up referee Andrew Thomas. I mean, it was a debacle. But I have to say, that's one of my fonder Hardcore Hell memories. Even though I did have to taste the bionic elbow of the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, and it was rather unpleasant, but I'm still going.
Hey, you're still there kicking ass. I think that they'll probably have to pop our dead, bloated fucking corpses up at ringside at some point there. But,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, until somebody can run me off, I'm going to be there. And I would like to mention another one with Hardcore Hell, and that was the Cage of Horrors with the Strong Style Psycho Tank versus the Bean of Inconceivable Horror, one of the most violent, bloodiest matches in the history of the building, and just fond memories of that. The Iceberg was such a monumental beast in that building that it was a true joy to lead him to victory on so many occasions, and it's something I know that we both share deep in our heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk about the significance of Hardcore Hell. Back then, when I later got Iceberg, and Devil's Rejects, that was where we took home his first NWA Anarchy heavyweight title, my first heavyweight title in the building, which was a big moment for me. So that definitely, sharing some fond memories of the Iceberg. How's he doing these days? I heard you ran into him not too long ago.
The Iceberg is still hanging in there. He's hung his boots up, but he gets the fever to get in the ring and taste some blood every now and again. And, Hurt, whether the Iceberg's at 100% or not, he's a man who's still coming to draw your blood and is one of the most dangerous men to ever set foot in that ring. So even at 50%, the Iceberg is no man to be trifled with ever.
That's damn straight. We've seen it both on the end of managing him, and then when he'd eventually get pissed off at us, and then we'd get the hell beat out of him, us by him, on both sides.
That's for sure. I mean, the Iceberg was a very volatile man, and once you got on his bad side, chances were you were going to catch one hell of an ass whipping, and I'm sorry to say that I did on more than one occasion. But again, I still stand tall.
Yeah, damn right. The fucking legacy hanging out. We've talked about you coming on, actually, as a guest to not talk about wrestling. Of course, tonight's a special night promoting this Hardcore Hell event tomorrow. But I'd say here maybe next week or in the next. Let's go ahead and set it up. We can do an earlier start time if you'd like, just whatever suits your schedule. But Jesse Bailey, folks, has the most extensive concert experience of anybody I've ever met. So we're really going to dig deep into that when we have him on as our featured guest.
We're going to add to that total this year with Iron Maiden, Alice Cooper, Motley Crue, and Kiss. Probably even going to throw a little Aerosmith Cheap Trick in there, and maybe Slayer, Slipknot, Motorhead. So it looks like a busy summer.
Yeah, I was telling people earlier in the episode, this is the summer to be a metal fan, because it is really everybody that you could possibly think of is going out on tour, and the package deals are out there, so you can see them. It's a nice combo package for a relatively inexpensive ticket, and it's going to be a hell of a time, my friend.
Absolutely. I am so – I haven't seen Iron Maiden since the Power Slave tour, so it's been quite a long time. I'm really, really excited about seeing them again. And I'm at a show, and my spot is coming up, so I'm going to have to hop off here.
All right, Jeff G. Thank you for calling
here flagging me down. Absolutely.
Right,
everybody,
man,
listening to this, they need to be at Hardcore Hell, because it is the wrestling event of the year, every year.
And take it from the man himself, who's done more than any of them, Jeff G. Bailey. Jeff, thank you for calling the show, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And some fantastic Hardcore Hell memories and some thoughts on tomorrow night's other half of the co-main event. A lot of people wonder. Right now, me and Jeff are on good terms. We've had our ups and our downs. He mentored me in the business as a manager, really taught me everything I knew up to a point. And, really set me on my way and allowed me to get a lot of success. And so I'll always have a soft spot for Jeff. But we've also had our words, and we've had some legendary wars when we were on the opposing side of one another. Our factions fought in fights that are still being talked about to this day in the North Georgia area. But right now, everything, I'm doing my thing, and the fans are on my side, and the fans don't like him at all. We're trying not to let that affect our personal affairs because, I appreciate the support that I've gotten from the NWA Anarchy fans with me and the Rejects and the Hasbro and the Hate Junkies. We all do greatly appreciate it. But, we didn't change anything about us. because of the way the fans started reacting. We just happened to have a voice that all of a sudden appealed to them after a long time being disgruntled by the status quo and the system. They felt like they could get behind somebody a little bit dirtier, and they thought that the rejects were going to be that. So, you know, when I'm riding with it, I'm not disputing it because I know at this day and age in my career, I got to keep things moving forward. But look at this, friends. We're moving along. We got another caller on the line. 704 area code. You are on the Midnight Black Mass.
Hello, Reverend. This is Franklin Dove.
Well, what about it? The founder of the NWA Anarchy Feast, the owner himself, Mr. Franklin Dove. What a better representative of the company. I couldn't find a better individual to tell you about Hardcore Hell. How's it going, Franklin?
Very well, very well.
Excellent. Well, we got a big card on hand tomorrow night. Your thoughts on your first Hardcore Hell as NWA Anarchy owner?
Well, I think, you know, with it being the first year, first big event of this year, I think we've got one heck of a card lined up. A lot of people getting their hands on the people that they want to do business with, and hopefully we'll settle some feuds and maybe even start some new ones. Who knows? I mean, we've got, you know, all the different title matches, and I know you're really concerned about that one title-for-title match when Azrael goes in there and puts his Anarchy title against Sean Tempers for the North American Championships. Hard to believe one man's going to walk away with both of those belts.
Yeah, that's really, we're really going for broke there, you know, but it was the best opportunity for him to get a put-up-or-shut-up shot at Azrael, and as his manager, I thought it was best to take it, but, you know, Azrael was of that opinion, too. I didn't have to hold a gun to his head. He was ready for that shot, and he definitely wants a piece of Sean Temper's ass tomorrow night, Mr. Dove, and I do thank you for giving us that. Of course, we just had Mr. Jeff D. Bailey on the line right before you, who had some choice words about his main event tomorrow night. Any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, Bailey, you know, he's going to have to ditch those fancy shoes that he wears and put on a pair of wrestling boots, I think. We'll see what he's got. You know, he's good at running his mouth, but it's time for him to put his butt on the line. And I don't know if his boys at the NWA Elite can protect him too much tomorrow night or not. And, you know, we got Jerry Palmer going to be at ringside. Make sure it's going to be fair. But, you know, Bailey has fussed for the past few weeks that things are fair in the numbers game. We always gang up on him, if you will. But, you know, the way I see it, he's got four guys, we got four guys. It's going to be an even fight, and we'll just see how that one comes out.
Yeah, that's a very interesting one. You know, I think the odds are stacked against the NWA Elite, and I'm not trying to play sides here. That's just an experienced veteran calling like I see it. But, you know, Jeff's a grown man, and he can take care of himself. I'm not trying to fight his battles. I got plenty of my own to worry about, my friend. But, you know, he's got a hell of a team to back him up, though. I've discovered Seven myself and contracted him out to Mr. Bailey in the NWA Elite. And, you know, for that guy, I put him up against five regular dudes. So it's going to be one hell of a fight. We all know that. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, when you look at the eight guys that are going to be in that ring, and Bailey, you know, he's one, he can hold his own when it comes to, you know, toe-to-toe, I think, you know. We'll see how it goes. But like you said, he's got Lane Vassar, big, massive individual. Casanova, another. You can look at that. Seven. Three of the biggest guys that are going to walk out of that dressing room to go to that ring. Then you've got Brody Ray Chase, Michael Judas, Slim J, that can fly from the rafters like nobody I've ever seen, and Johnny Dangerous. So I think it's going to be an even match, and you know, it's going to be a match that I just can't wait to see how this one comes off.
Yeah, and a lot of the NWA Anarchy fans are looking forward to that as well. But that's not all. We got, what, the television title on the line. Seth DeLay going to be defending against Broner Newsom.
That's right. You know, Sean Temper's protege there, so there's no telling what kind of tricks he's going to have up his sleeve. But we'll see what Seth can do to maybe hold on to that television championship.
And looking here, well, we also got the Young Lions title on the line. I'm seeing the Texas Tornadoes. Of course, I'm familiar with that because they're going to be up against my guys, the Hate Junkies, in some great tag team competitions.
Yep. And, you know, then we got a match that if anybody was with us last week, you know, when we were trying to do something for the fans, let the fans have a little bit of interaction. And when Shadow was out there, from what I understand, John Johnson and the Ambassadors came around and you know, pull up a sneak attack in the parking lot before the doors ever open. So, you know, this week we've got all four of those guys going into a match that the loser, the guy that loses the match for his team, will leave Anarchy. And it's one of those that's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight to the finish. Very few rules, if any, in place. It's going to be a Texas Tornado-style match. So that's going to be an all-out fight, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's a match I'm watching pretty heavily, you know, managing the Hate Junkies. I think they've been out of the primary picture of tag teams for far too long in NWA Anarchy, and they're going to show why they need to be back in the title picture when they beat the Texas Tornadoes on Saturday night. But I think that match is one of the most important matches for them to be watching as well, because you have two very major forces as tag teams, Urban Assault Squad and the Ambassadors right now in Anarchy. One of them is going to be gone forever. That immediately eliminates one of our toughest competitors when that match is over. So I think the outcome is a very important one for the Hate Junkies and the entire tag team scene of Anarchy.
Yep. And one other thing that just comes to mind, you know, last week we had the Battle Royal out there, and Tommy Daniels of late has had some physical ailments, if you will, although he can't exactly identify which part of his body is supposed to be hurting. It's always left foot, right foot, whatever. And you know, his Achilles tendon's up on his thigh, I think, in his mind. But anyway, he snuck back in there and took a win from Jacob Ashworth. So this week we're going to let the two of them square off in a singles match to see exactly what, if they can settle their scores.
And there you have it, fans, the stacked card from top to bottom. You can catch it on home video. It will be for sale at NWAAnarchy.net. But the only way to truly experience is to come down to the NWA Arena, the Church of Southern Wrestling, and get yourself a holy vibe and really tap into that environment and what it's like when the popcorns are roasting and them fans are screaming and it's hot as balls in there. You know what I'm talking about, Franklin. There's nothing like the atmosphere.
That atmosphere in that building and the electricity that will be generated there tomorrow night, I don't know if the roof can hold it, but we'll see, because I'm expecting this to be one hell of a crowd and one hell of a card. And anybody that's never been, if you ever thought about it, this is going to be one to go and check it out, because I think from that point forward, you're going to be hooked.
Yeah, and I would concur. And with this being my 12th Hardcore Hell event, I can promise you it will deliver the goods. And speaking of the history of the event, Franklin, before I let you go, you know, first event as the new owner of Anarchy, first Hardcore Hell, that is, and this is the flagship. This is the one that goes all the way back to 1997, starting a little bar in Silva, North Carolina, with the main event of Jeff Hardy and Shannon Moore. And now here we are, still doing it in 2012. Feel a lot of pressure, excitement, jitters, honor. What's going through your mind?
All of the above. I tell you what, you know, it happened so quickly. When I set the calendar at the end of 2011 and I picked March 31st as the date for Hardcore Hell, I never thought we'd run up on it so quickly, but we have, and it's been a good run in the first 3 months, and I can only imagine what these boys are going to pull out for tomorrow night.
And I don't think that I could say it any better, Mr. Dove. Ladies and gentlemen, the owner and CEO of NWA Anarchy, Mr. Franklin Dove, thank you for joining us here on the Midnight Black Mass, and we'll see you tomorrow night when Azrael takes home that North American title.
Thank you, sir. See you tomorrow night.
Thank you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Franklin Dove, I'm going to get some more tunes for you before we get out of here. Got still TV Casualty comic book news, and we're going to take whatever calls come in until the end of the broadcast on this special Hardcore Hell pregame edition. We played some Iron Maiden for you last week off of, you know, late 80s stuff. It was Wasted Year, or The Evil That Men Do, rather. And, you know, the amazing thing about this band is that they still consistently kick ass. And as we played some newer Overkill for you earlier, here's some newer Iron Maiden. This is off of the 2008 album, A Matter of Life and Death. This goes out to all of my brothers in the business that served overseas in combat. This song is called These Colors Don't Run.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back on the Midnight Black Mass. That was the legendary Iron Maiden, Bruce Dickinson, Adrian Smith, Steve Harris, Janik Gers, Dave Murray, and Nico McBrain. One of the greatest heavy metal bands of all time. That was off of 2008's A Matter of Life and Death. That song was called These Colors Don't Run. Head on over to Amazon.com and iTunes.com to purchase your copy of that today. Of course, as always, we make the disclaimer that we claim no copyright of the music we play here on the Midnight Black Mass. This is all for promotional purposes. Go and purchase your copies of the albums if you don't. But if you're listening to the show, then you probably own them like me, because that we just connect on that telepathic vibe, you see. Big night tonight, NWA Anarchy Hardcore Hell pregame show. We've already heard from NWA Anarchy CEO and owner Franklin Dubb and the legendary NWA Manager of Champions, Mr. Jeff G. Bailey. And may hear from a couple more NWA Anarchy personalities before the night is up to talk about their bouts coming up tomorrow night. But right now we're moving along to a very favorite part of the show that's back this week after a brief hiatus. That's right, it's time for another edition of TV Casualty, where we take an extensive look at the DC Comics animated universe, reviewing episode by episode the extensive body of work that encompasses the DCAU. And of course, we've started with Batman the Animated Series, and we're still on season one of the first project, so we got a long road to hoe. But later on, if we're still around doing the Midnight Black Mass, then we're going to get to Superman the Animated Series, Justice League the Animated Series, Teen Titans. Oh, it's just going to go on and on. It's infinite. They've even added new things like the Green Lantern, Young Justice, and the new Batman series coming later, which we're going to talk about a little bit more in the comic book news. But this week's edition of Batman featured Batman involved in a conflict between two mob bosses. The title of the episode is It's Never Too Late. And it introduced villains Rupert Thorne and Arnold Stromwell, written by Tom Ruger, directed by Boyd Kirkland, and the teleplay written by Garen Wolf. It aired originally on the Fox Network on September 10th of 1992. It was a very touching episode. Harvey Dent, of course, we saw last week, was out of the picture at the end of the Two-Face episode, going back to Arkham Asylum. Rupert Thorne, who was voiced by Animal House's John Vernon, makes his power play on the Gotham Underworld in this episode. The Boss Thorne, a member of the Gotham City Council for years, but always on the take, a mob boss, of course, in an extensive Gotham Mafia family. And he makes a power play on the Gotham Underworld, challenging the reigning kingpin, Arnold Stromwell, who was voiced by Eugene Roche. They were vying for criminal supremacy. And the war between the two escalates when Arnold Stromwell's son, Joey, goes missing. And, of course, the fingers pointed a lot of places, Rupert Thorne, very importantly. But this relives a trauma for Stromwell, where he's forced to remember the time in his past when his folly first harmed someone he cared about. That was when his older brother pushed him out of the way of an oncoming train and was killed himself. So, of course, the Batman gets on the case, and he's going to try to help him find young Joey. It all comes to a climax when Stromwell is set up by Rupert Thorne in this mafia war to be killed in an exploding restaurant, the old Sopranos trick. Well, before the Sopranos, might I add, but certainly not a new mafia cliche. After he saves Arnold Stromwell from said bombing, Batman brings Stromwell where he doesn't want to go, which is a drug rehab center where Joey is found being watched by his mother, Connie, who is estranged from Arnold. And she's prepared there to lay blame on Mr. Stromwell, but in a rage, Arnold Stromwell continues to deny his involvement in Joey's situation. Connie finally calls him out, exclaiming, "It was your drugs and the people who sell them." And one of the sites where I was reviewing statistics for this was called AVClub.com. They had a very nice write-up on this episode. But to quote them, they said that despite the seriousness of that moment, they couldn't help but be reminded of the famous I learned it by watching you, Dad. Anti-drug PSA from the 80s. You remember that, you know, the guy's like, oh, he's a nice porno mustache. He was like, where did you get this stuff? You. I learned it by watching you. And, you know, he had a bag of weed, which is like, it was like 1985 when that came out. You know, you could have possibly preached to him the dangers of cocaine and anabolic steroids, because we come to find out that abusing those things, not the use, mind you, but the abuse of those things really did take their toll. And it can hurt smoking a weed. Anyway, but there you have it for another edition of TV Casualty. Next week we'll be back with another edition of Batman the Animated Series. It just keeps getting thicker. This season's going to bring out even more rogues. We'll run into the Riddler later, Killer Croc, Poison Ivy's going to be back. It's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun. And season one's almost over. We have almost plowed through season one. We are right at the end of disc two. So just keep it on going, and eventually we're going to be through this thing. But thank you for joining us for another edition of TV Casualty. Okay, we're going to move it along, fans. Of course, I'm going to bring you right now for some NW Anarchy Hardcore Hell history. We discussed some of what I was planning on talking about with a couple of the other guests, but I'm going to give you my own personal history lesson from my experience as I know it, and I might be repeating myself a couple of times here, but don't worry about it. It'll enlighten you that much more. As I stated, Hardcore Hell started in 1997 in Silva, North Carolina, by the company then called National Championship Wrestling, owned by Steve Martin at the time, who was involved for many years up until the split with Bill Barons after it became NWA Wildside in 1999. The first Hardcore Hell featured a main event of Jeff Hardy versus Shannon Moore. The card also featured Matt Hardy, Bull Buchanan, David Young, and others. It became NWA Wildside in 1999. My first Hardcore Hell, as I mentioned, was 2001, and the main event was Bad Attitude versus Total Destruction in a Wild Steel Cage, the mood you discussed earlier. That also was monumental in that it featured the return of AJ Styles after he had left WCW to close down. A lot of fans were wondering if we were ever going to see him back in the NWA arena, and there was a big junior heavyweight mega rumble, and it ended with a big Suicidal Tendencies reunion with Air Paris, and everybody was super happy, and then Suicidal Tendencies turned on Air Paris, and little did everyone know in attendance, AJ Styles was there, and he hit the ring and made his return for another great run, which later propelled him into Ring of Honor and TNA. So that was a very historic night, and there I was at Hardcore Hell just as a ring announcer initially, but I did dabble a little bit in play-by-play and eventually became the host of NWA Wildside Television. And in 2005, I retired from announcing, or at least semi-retired, to take on a managerial career and rebuild myself from the ground up as the Reverend with the Devil's Rejects. And then over the course of all that time, 12 years have passed, and it feels like it was yesterday when I was a young little punk kid coming to Atlanta for a break. And I ended up staying in Cornelia, Georgia for many years, as it would provide me a whole lot of opportunity in my career. And I have that building, those fans, Bill Barons, people like Jerry Palmer and Franklin Dove, Jeff G. Bailey. Whether we've hated each other or not over the years, I have them to thank for that. We would see in that building over the next 12 years the likes of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Dory Funk Jr., Evan Bourne, Corey Chavis, Murder One, Priest Coleman, Jimmy Rave, Tank Iceberg, Hot Stuff Hernandez, R-Truth, Ron Killings, Jeff G. Bailey, who was just earlier on the show, Michael Judas, Jason Cross, Delirious, Ray Gordy, Daisy Hayes, Christopher Daniels, John Phoenix, Jason Cross, Onyx, Laz, White Trash, Slim J, Consequences Creed, Gunner, Stephen Walters, The Lost Boys, TNT, a bevy of people that came through the NWA arena over the years, some that are still around, some that maybe only made an impact there, and some that went on to make an impact worldwide, but you cannot deny the great times we've had over the years there. We're going to get to some more tunes for you now. That was your Hardcore Hell history lesson. Right now we're going to take it back to 1976. We're staying in the 70s. I told you I liked that decade a whole lot. This is off of perhaps my favorite Judas Priest album, the second album by them called Sad Wings of Destiny. The song is called Tyrant. Tyrant.
Come on.
that was the legendary thrash metal icons Exodus off of the thrash metal epic album Bonded by Blood. That was A Lesson in Violence. And looks like we have another caller on the line here on this Hardcore Hell pregame edition of the Midnight Black Mass. 727 area code, you are on the air.
Fuck, what's up, Uncle Dan?
Oh, my God, it's the human hand grenade, Danny Only. Georgia Wrestling Now's own human hand grenade, Danny Only. How are you doing tonight, my brother?
Oh, I'm good, man. Just got done beating the crap out of some little punk kid who cost me my shot at the Platinum Classic last week. Chasing my victory with a little bit of Captain Morgan Black and enjoying this nice rainy weather down here in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, the rainy weather is extending all the way up to the compound, too, unfortunately. It looks like it's about to blow over, though. So last week during the Midnight Black Mass, a fucking tornado hit right in the middle of the broadcast. But alas, I braved it to bring you, the listeners, the gospel according to the Rev.
That's fucking metal.
That's fucking metal as fuck. Hey, tomorrow night, man, Hardcore Hell, it's a legendary event, and NWA Anarchy. You've had a couple of appearances, but it's a big night tomorrow night, taking on the Texas Tornadoes, and I'm not talking about the zombified corpses of Kerry Von Erich. I'm actually talking about Rudy Boy Gonzalez's proteges. What are your thoughts on that match, man?
I don't know how that came about, you know. It came out of nowhere, slacking off at the mouth, you know, spracking off with all kinds of Texas gibberish and garbage. I mean, we already beat them once, and yeah, they're really good competitors, you know. They're athletic, and they got good bodies and pretty faces, but me and Strychnine don't. We don't have pretty faces, and we don't have good bodies, and we don't like people like that trying to call us out. So I got a feeling that tomorrow we're just going to beat the hell out of them and send them back to Texas with their tails in between their legs. Call it a hunt.
That is, yeah, that's the plan, my brother. Of course, now we don't underestimate any opponent, as the hate junkies, and these guys might just have, you never know if old Rudy Boy, the baked potato himself, Gonzalez, is going to be at ringside there. And if he tries to stick his nose in our business, I got a lot of respect for Rudy and where he's been and what he's done. I know he just lost his mentor, Joe Blanchard, this week. I know he's had a rough week, but I'm sorry, Rudy. We're going to whip your boy's ass tomorrow night. That's just the facts.
And speaking of big nights, you appear to have a big night of your own with your head charge going in there and with a chance to leave the NWA Anarchy and NWA North American Heavyweight Champ. And I think it's long overdue for old Azrael himself.
Goddamn right. I mean, you know, we're doing this for the family, of course, to bring that gold back to our camp. We've never held a nationally ranked NWA title in the Rejects, so that would be a huge thing. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions going into that match. I've talked about it at length. Sean Tempers is a former brother of ours, but, you know, he's sold out and become a douche nozzle, and so that is that. And I'm not going to feel bad when Azrael puts up everything he's got in the NWA Anarchy Heavyweight title, but hopefully defeats Sean Tempers 1-2-3 to become the NWA North American Champion as well.
You know, that'd be pretty sweet. It'd be really awesome if that happened, and then who knows, maybe a few months down the line, you can lead the Hate Junkies into the NWA World Tag Team title scene, and you'll have a lot of NWA National Gold and the Devil's Rejects. That'd be pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, that is the plan, and you know, don't think that the Hate Junkies forgot about you. Dark City Fight Club, love you guys. Corey Chavis, you're my homeboy, but you know, dollars talk and bullshit walks, and winning those World Tag Team titles will bring us a whole lot of dollars. So, you know, the target is on their head.
And I'm not a big one on bragging and bravado, but when something like this happens, you kind of got to brag about it. And I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm sure you might be, seeing as how close we are and how well you follow the Georgia wrestling scene. But I did something last week that not a lot of people have done.
Oh, yeah, was it pinning the Ring of Honor champion?
Indeed it is. I said going into that I was going to give everything that I had, win, lose, or draw, and it didn't really matter if I lost, because if I did, I was losing to the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion. But it turns out, for three seconds, I was the better competitor. And I tell you, it brought out the best in me. Davey is, without a doubt, in my opinion, the best wrestler in the world today. And I beat him. So
pinfall victory over a world champion, my brother. So yeah, if I haven't told you already, props to you, man. That makes me very proud.
Well, good deal, man. Well, look, let me get back in here and see what's going on with all these shenanigans. But tomorrow night is going to be a good night for you. So I might pick up a little bit of that Tennessee honey whiskey and we'll party right when the whole night's over with.
That you are on, my friend, and we're going to be walking out victorious and pounding that honey whiskey. That sounds like a motherfucking plan.
Absolutely, brother. Be good.
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Only, one half of the Hate Junkies, co-host of Georgia Wrestling Now, joining the show. And again, he's going to be in action tomorrow night at NWA Anarchy Hardcore Hell, teaming with the Lethal Dose Strychnine as the Hate Junkies, taking on the Texas Tornadoes. One hell of a card we got lined up for you. But now it's time to move on to the comic news before we wrap up the broadcast here. Got big news starting out this Sunday, April 1st. I've talked about it before, but to remind you, want to be tuning into Disney XD as Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes Season 2 kicks off in a big way this Sunday. It's going to already feature this Season 2. Well, if you haven't watched it, first of all, the entire season one is on Netflix. So you definitely want to go and check out Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes Season 1. Get all caught up. And then on Sunday, tune in to Disney XD for the premiere episode. And I've seen a frozen picture from one of the commercials that fans have blown up on the internet telling me all of the folks who's going to be appearing in this season. I've seen the Fantastic Four. I've seen the motherfucking Winter Soldier. I've seen Yellow Jacket, Spider-Man, Miss Marvel, Wolverine, and more, all making Season 2 appearances in this teaser trailer. Also, the brand new Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon premieres on Sunday, which will be set in the same universe, just up in a prequel setting to Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. It'll feature Luke Cage and Iron Fist, guys that have not really gotten a lot of TV time, but beloved Marvel characters. This is pretty monumental. Very excited about that. There has been another Batman sighting, this time in the state of Maryland. We've discussed there was a Batman in Brazil. There's a Batman elsewhere in the world. Now there's a Batman apparently in Maryland. Well, the Batman in Brazil was fighting crime. This guy was actually pulled over for a traffic violation in his black Lamborghini Batmobile and his full bat suit. And come to find out, it's actually a wealthy businessman up there, much like Bruce Wayne, who actually uses the bat to go visit sick children in the hospital. So, the cops, I think, ended up letting him off. He's apparently a very nice guy. But awesome that people are taking it upon themselves to become Batman. This is a fucking unprecedented phenomenon here in 2012. News like this has never made the round. So never know. You might have a Batman in your town. And speaking of the Dark Knight, we've certainly blow him plenty here on the Midnight Black Mass, but if we could just stroke it a little more for him, Beware the Batman has been announced, a brand new Batman the Animated Series to begin in late 2012 as part of Cartoon Network's absolutely kick-ass DC Nation block of programming. It's going to feature new members of the Rogues Gallery that have been introduced over the last few years, people like Professor Pig, Anarchy, Magpie, and the Dollmaker. That's going to be really fucking awesome. Also, Kitana of the Birds of Prey will be at his side, and they're going to be exploiting some of Alfred's MI6 background with his secret agent training. So it's going to be really cool. Looking forward to that. It's going to be in the CGI mind frame of the Green Lantern animated series, which is excellent, and that airs every Saturday morning on Cartoon Network along with Young Justice. My comic book pick of the week is Avengers number 24.1. The Rebirth of the Vision. And I haven't read a better single issue of a comic maybe since I've been doing a pull list. Just really touching story about an out-of-touch man coming back from death. Of course, he's not even a real man. He's an android. He's synthetic. So it just seemed as if life continued, but he was really dead for like 4 years. And to find out that his wife murdered a population, committed genocide, and he's got to come to grips with all of this, and this is his introduction back onto the team. Man, I just, Brian Michael Bendis, some of his best writing ever in this issue. cannot say enough great things about it. Also, Avengers vs. X-Men number 0 hit the stands this week and sold out. So a second printing has already been ordered for that. Great prequel showing the Scarlet Witch and the things that have been leading to her return. And Hope Summers of the X-Men, the mutant messiah, the last surviving mutant born after M-Day. And exactly how they're going to play into this conflict. And we still don't know how it's going to happen, but man, is it getting close. The prelude issue, Avengers vs. X-Men number 0, has hit newsstands and sold out, going back for a second printing. Marvel is also teasing that the amazing Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and the ultimate Miles Morales, Spider-Man, may cross universes. The teaser pictures have come up with both logos stating that there could be a crossover at some point. So that should be very interesting to see how they do an alternate reality storyline with both the Marvel 616 Spider-Man and the Ultimate version. And fans, that's really all we have this week. We're going to go to one more tune. If I don't get another caller, because I've kind of given the open invite to all my various cast and crew and cohorts and cronies to call in anytime before 10 o'clock, but we're really out of content now, and we've had a lot of great guests calling in, so I think it's a perfect stopping point. But if I do get a caller before the end of this song, I certainly will cut back in and bring them on the air. But if I don't, thank you for joining us. We hope we've enlightened you with some history about Hardcore Hell. We've excited you for tomorrow night's event at the NWA Arena in Cornelia, Georgia, at 8 o'clock p.m. bell time. Go to nwaanarchy.net to purchase your tickets right now, and I hope to see you tomorrow night. And I know y'all going to be in the corner of myself and Azrael as he takes on the Temptation, Shawn Tempers. Here is my all-time favorite bass solo by one of my metal heroes, the late, great Cliff Burton, going back to 1983 with Metallica's Kill 'Em All. This is Anesthesia. Pulling teeth, fans. Keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the gold. I'll see you tomorrow night at Hardcore Hell 2012.
Bass solo, take one.
for listening to the Tribecast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.